Well, we're going to turn to God's word now. And if you have a Bible with you, on you, if you have a device with the Bible on it, we're going to turn to John chapter 20 this week as we continue our series on the resurrection appearances of Jesus in the New Testament. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for this particular word to us today. We pray, Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to see this passage perhaps in a fresh way today. Speak to us through it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this passage finds itself in an interesting context. At the beginning of the chapter, that's John chapter 20, we read about the empty tomb of Jesus, his strips of linen lying in the tomb, disciples running to see what had happened, and Mary, who, when crying, was instructed to go and tell the disciples that she had indeed seen the risen Lord Jesus. Following this encounter, Jesus appeared to his disciples, locked behind doors, understandably in fear of the Jewish leaders who had been responsible for the crucifixion of their Lord, their master. But when Jesus appeared to them, they were overjoyed, as we read in verse 20. He spoke peace over them, and he breathed on them with the life-giving power and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Essential for Christian life and witness, as we read in Acts, and as we will know in our own testimony of faith. This scene causes me to remember that many have been locked behind closed doors in recent months. Perhaps some of us have forgotten. We've been behind locked doors because of COVID-19, in fear of the disease, perhaps in fear of its transition, in fear of other people, and some may even remain behind closed doors. And we must pray for God's peace upon them, asking that his life-giving breath will bring comfort, reassurance, and the comfort of God. If that is you, we pray for you, that your fear might be met by Jesus. If that's you at home watching the live stream today, we pray that you would know the presence of Jesus, that he would come and reassure you and give you his comfort today. But we also see in these early verses references to belief. Belief in the other disciple of verse 8, who, despite his lack of understanding that Jesus had to rise from the dead as the Son of Man, as the Messiah, did believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Belief in Mary, verse 16, who turned towards Jesus and cried out to him, "Teacher." And belief in the disciples, verse 19, as Jesus stood among them, showed them his hands and his side. But then in Thomas, as we read in verse 24, we find someone who struggled to believe. Someone who struggled to believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Despite the testimony of friends, he had not seen the resurrection for himself. He had not had the opportunity yet to gaze his eyes upon Jesus, and so he failed to believe. It's perhaps interesting to realize that we only come across Thomas twice in the Gospel of John before this moment in chapter 20. In John 11, verse 16, Thomas compels the disciples to follow Jesus and even follow him to death. He shows himself to be a loyal disciple, committed to Jesus, capable of devotion and courage. Then in John 14, verse 5, as Jesus prepares his disciples for leaving them, for his death, for his resurrection, and then for his ascension into heaven, Jesus says to them, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I am going. And Thomas replies, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Thomas here shows honesty and perhaps even serves as the spokesman for those who have not grasped the person of Jesus or even the work and purpose of Jesus. He speaks on their behalf by saying, no, Lord, how do we know the way? His crucifixion, that's the crucifixion of Jesus, was perhaps overwhelming for Thomas and led to his absence from these prior resurrection appearances that we've read about in John chapter 20. And now, despite the testimony of his friends, presumably those he trusted, Thomas wanted proof that Jesus was alive. Physical proof. In verse 25, he says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands. Very specific, isn't it? And put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. We read in verse 26 that it took a week for that moment to come. And I wonder what went through his mind during that period, especially given the joy of his friends and fellow disciples. Have you ever felt like the odd one out in a church congregation or amongst Christians? Have you ever felt spiritually dry whilst other fellow believers seem to be alive in the presence of God? I've felt that experience before. Once in California, surrounded by people who were alive to the joy of knowing and believing in the resurrected Lord Jesus. And another time at Spurgeon's College, when others worshipped in their faith, as I struggled with disbelief following bereavement. It must have been a long and difficult week for Thomas, don't you think? But Jesus pursued him. He even heard the mind of Thomas, which shows us something of the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus stood amongst his disciples again in verses 26 to 27. He spoke again words of peace upon them. But this time, Thomas was present. And this encounter serves as a great encouragement to those who experience such agony of faith as Thomas. Because Jesus did not dismiss him. Jesus did not dismiss the disciple who failed to believe that Jesus had risen from the grave. No, he pursued him. He turned to him and he said, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. I have to say at this point, I wonder if any of the disciples were squeamish. Personally, I love television shows like 24 Hours in A&E. I have been known to watch operations live on TV. But my wife, she won't go anywhere near anything like that. Seeing the wounds of Jesus is one thing, but touching them, goodness, I wonder whether everyone in the room could cope with the scene. But interestingly, Bible commentators suggest that Thomas may not have touched the wounds of Jesus at all. The sight of Jesus with his marked hands and his side were perhaps enough for Thomas to proclaim and confess in verse 28, "My Lord and my God." It's you. One Bible commentator highlights that Thomas not only came through his doubts into clear and firm conviction, not only came to participate in the events of the following years in Jerusalem, but took, according to fairly reliable tradition, the gospel as far as India, where he also laid down his life for Jesus. Isn't that an encouragement for those of us who perhaps struggle in faith at times? He's not done with us yet. He pursues us. And he can even use those of us who struggle and doubt. I remember reading a book, and I know I've spoken this about this before, but I remember reading a book and an article about Mother Teresa. Long after she died, it had been discovered that she'd written lots of letters which showed an element of disbelief, of struggle in her faith. And yet God used that woman, didn't she? I think she did. Notice that Jesus concludes this encounter with a rebuke and a word for countless believers who follow Thomas and the ascension of Jesus like you and I. Jesus says in verse 29, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Of course, it would be so much easier for us if Jesus were to just walk into the room. Of course, we're fully booked, so he couldn't have a seat. But if he walked into this room, wouldn't it be easier for us to believe that he is the Messiah, that he is the risen Lord? But actually, the challenge of faith is to believe regardless. And this is not completely blind faith. Like Thomas, we have the testimony of those who have seen him and known him personally. It's laid out for us in God's word, in the Bible. But we also have the revelation of God in the Holy Spirit, who is with us now, who is in this building, who is with you wherever you're watching the stream from, who lives in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, says Paul. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and guides us into all truth, Jesus said in John 16. As one Bible commentator put it, clearly there is a significant difference between the kind of meeting described in this section and our experience of Christ today. Clearly. But it is nonetheless the claim of the Christian centuries that we can still meet Jesus. It's a plain fact of present history that all around the world, millions daily fall at his feet and whisper, "My Lord and my God." Can we believe him, though we have not seen him? Yes, of course we can. Can we love him even though we do not see him now? Yes, of course we can. And if we do, writes Peter in 1 Peter 1 verse 8, we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, which is ultimately the salvation of our souls. Amen. The challenge is ours today, writes one Bible commentator, to make the same fearless witness in the face of the Lord's many and God's many of our generation. my Lord and my God. I worship you. I serve you. Though we cannot see you, I believe and trust in you. I will follow you all the days of my life. I will live for your praise and glory. Now, the verse that strikes me most in the whole of this passage is found in verse 27. The instruction for Thomas to reach out his hand to Jesus. It reminds me of Mark chapter 5 and Luke 8, when a woman subjected to bleeding for 12 years had spent all that she had to find help and healing. She reached out her hand to Jesus and touched his cloak. Following which, Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I don't know where you stand on this belief spectrum, especially following the last 12 to 13 months. Some of you may have found the pandemic to show strength in your faith. Some of you, however, may have found your faith to have great weakness. I don't know where you sit on that spectrum. But I want to invite everyone, every one of us, to reach out to Jesus. Reach out to him and see that he is good, as Thomas did, as this lady did in Mark chapter 8. And so I want to invite us very practically to engage in a response. So if you're able, I want to invite you to stand. If you're watching the stream at home, I know it's embarrassing because you're probably in your pajamas or you're sat next to someone who might not necessarily be watching the stream. But I want to invite you all to stand as a response to this passage today. And I want to invite you to reach out your hands and your arms to Jesus. And if you are able, I want to invite you to reach out to him with faith. Proclaim that you believe he is the Messiah, the Son of God, that he is the risen one. Commit yourself to him again. Ask that he would reveal himself to you by his word, by the breath of his spirit. I want to invite anyone in particular who has doubted in their faith in the last 12 months, perhaps stands here in doubt or stands at home in doubt. I want to invite you in particular to recommit yourself to God. To declare my Lord and my God, as Thomas did. Holy Spirit, would you breathe? Will you breathe your life into us today? As Jesus breathe the Spirit upon his disciples, would you breathe upon us? That our eyes would be open to the truth of Scripture. That our eyes would be open to the truth of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. And though we cannot see you, Jesus, here and now, Holy Spirit, would you reveal? Would you reveal the Father and the Son to us? That we might live for his praise and glory.